It is 24 and a half minutes after the hour, Tuesday morning, and of course that means, well, it didn't mean this last week, Don. We missed you last week. You were celebrating Christmas with your family last week, weren't you, on Tuesday?
Oh, I was. Yeah. We had a full house.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have had to break up my meeting with the family versus doing a talk show.
We wouldn't want that to happen. No, those chances only come a couple times a year, so take full advantage of them. Yeah, we missed you, but we got you back today. And Don Clark is a member of the Board of Creation Moments. He's a biochemist by trade and a vintner. And we celebrate Don every Tuesday. We're just happy for the experience and the expertise he brings to us, because we talk about tough things like hyperbaris and cellular senescence and mega sequences and all that scientific stuff that loses me entirely. So Don straightens us out and gives us the inside scoop on a lot of this. Don, there's been some research at the university, at Tel Aviv University, that seems to lend some support to some things creationists have been talking about for a long time. It has to do with the environment on the earth prior to the flood. Now, one of the things that sticks in my mind from our past discussions is you've described the climate as being uniform from pole to pole. That is, latitude didn't make a whole lot of difference to the climate, and that allowed for the spread of animals and the spread of human beings and so forth, and plants. That's why we find flowers growing in deceased mastodons at the North Pole and so forth. So conditions were certainly different back then, but now this research seems to suggest something about barometric pressure being connected with that. Can you explain what the relationship is, barometric pressure to maybe climate, weather, and people and animals and plants? Is that too much to ask?
I guess what you're asking was the conditions before the flood different than the conditions after the flood?
Yeah, and how so and why?
Yeah, and so... the answer to that is it seems that the conditions were quite different before the flood than they were post-flood. And one of the indications that we have is, of course, you go back to Genesis and you learn that people lived a long time before the flood.
Mm-hmm.
The average age was 900, plus or minus, with, of course, Methuselah, who lived up until the time the flood started, was 969 years old. And, of course, he's famous for being the oldest recorded person in the Bible. There's a whole story behind his name and the names of his predecessors.
The meanings of those names have significance in Genesis. I remember that. That was just a great lesson. By the way, if anybody wants to follow along in this discussion, there's a link at brokenroadradio.com in the chat window. You can click on that. It'll take you to the article that we're talking about here. So conditions were different, and it has to do with... bring up the point of sin actually affecting lifespans over time. And of course, God decreed at about the flood time that the lifespan of man would be 120 years. And we've discussed that numerous times, but never did we connect atmospheric pressure with it.
Right. And if you look at the lifespans post-flood, they decreased rapidly. Of course, Noah, he lived 950 years Noah lived, but Shem lived 600 years, and then, as Fark said, lived 438 years, and then the lifespan, when you get to Peleg, Peleg, by the way, means division, and that's when we think the things started to really break up, when the continents started to break up. At his time, but he lived 239 years. And then when you get to Abraham, he lived 175 years. And of course, things decrease from there. Lifespan rapidly decreased after the flood. And so, you know, you had post-flood conditions changing. We had the continents being broken up, and apparently the atmospheric pressure was much higher than it could be a factor of two higher than it is today, some creationists speculate. And it had to be higher because animal, for example, like a pterodactyl, those flying reptiles that, you know, you see in all of the science fiction movies that show dinosaurs, for example, wouldn't be able to fly in our atmosphere. The atmospheric pressure would be too low. And so they had to have a higher atmospheric pressure in order to fly. That's not the only indication, but that's some of the, you know, some of the evidence that, gee, maybe the atmospheric pressure was higher before the flood. Now, with the atmospheric pressure being higher, they also speculate that oxygen levels were higher in the increased atmosphere. And that those two things in combination, along with it, caused you know, some animals to get very large. Reptiles in particular, the dinosaurs, you know, they had a not only was man having a long lifespan, animals were having a long lifespan, and so they were getting bigger. And man was probably bigger than he is today because of the favorable atmospheric conditions as well, and the temperate climate and everything. So, you know, we have at least that the we have evidence of man's footprints being much larger than they are today at the Evidence Creation Museum in Glen Rose, Texas, for example. And so all of this information, all of this speculation, really, I mean, it's based on, well, if the Bible is accurate and literal in saying that man lived 900 plus years, then conditions had to be greater. And what were some of those conditions? Well, lo and behold, a new study comes out from the Tel Aviv University and Shamir Medical Center in Israel, where they looked at hyperbaric oxygen treatments for healthy adults. Now, hyperbaric oxygen treatments are normally, you go into a chamber, and that chamber then can be sealed off, and they then pressurize the chamber.
Isn't that what they use for divers coming up and pressurizing? Isn't that the same thing?
Depressurizing. It's a similar type of process, except this is you're pressurizing as opposed to decompressing.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
If you will. And so
same hardware, though.
Yeah, but this is used in the medical community, and it has been shown, you know, folks that have massive broken limbs, for example, it's shown to increase increase the rate of healing of tissue. So burn patients or other patients that are at risk, you know, they would put them in, give them hyperbaric oxygen treatments to increase the growth rate, if you will, of healing for whatever injury that they have. And it's been shown to be, you know, in many cases quite effective and have saved many lives. Well, the difference with this study was that they took healthy volunteers, along with them, and they gave them daily treatments of hyperbaric oxygen. And the purpose of the study was to look at the process of aging. So that then brings us to, well, what happens when you age? I mean, why do we get old? Well, we get old because the cells basically run out of can't reproduce themselves, and as you read earlier, they don't respond to the normal stimulus, growth factors and stuff, that would say, hey, you know, it's time for you to divide because, you know, the cell is about ready to peter out, and so you got to create a new cell in order to replace the old one, and that process then slows down and actually begins to stop as we get older. Two things are involved with that. One is just the cell senescence, or the cell just gets sluggish and doesn't, like I said, doesn't respond to its environment. But the other is a segment of the DNA, the end of the DNA. All of our DNA segments, or all of our genes, not the genes, but the chromosomes, have at their ends repeating sequences called telomeres. And we've talked about telomeres before, but these are repeating sequences where if you're going to replicate your DNA, the enzyme that sits on the DNA sits at the point of the telomere. And then it's kind of like the start signal, if you will, for replicating the DNA. And so it sits on the telomere, on the first telomere in the chain, and it then replicates the DNA. Well, every time your DNA is replicated, you lose that telomere sequence. And it's about a 5 or 6 base pair sequence that is being lost due to replication. So built in to our DNA, then, if you don't replace the telomere sequence, you've already got a clock ticking. So once you get to the last telomere in your telomere sequence, not only are you not protecting the ends of the chromosomes, which is also a function of the telomeres, but you're also not allowing the replication of the DNA anymore.
So you run out of telomeres as you age.
So the telomere sequence then decreases. You know, from, and the telomere sequence is pretty long. It's, for example, the repeating sequence of 25,000 times in humans for a newborn, it's about 11,000 kilobase pairs, kilobases, or thousands of bases at birth. That decreases to 4,000 base pairs in old age, which, you know, sounds like, gee, there's still quite a lot there. Maybe we should live, you know, forever, because we still have, you know, 4,000 more. Why can't we live, you know, longer than we do? Well, you know, it's not only does it function as a start for the replication of our DNA, but it also functions to protect the end of the DNA. So as you get to shorter and shorter telomeres, then your protection of the ends of the DNA loses its function, and funny things start happening at that point, which means that the DNA isn't being protected, and you get, you know, many more miscodings. But,
protected
stuff.
From what? I mean, is DNA attacked by something, or would you just describe this as a degradation, a degrading of the DNA over time? I mean, are there enemies of DNA out there?
Well, there's, our DNA, our chromosomes are normally, you know, until you need some information, the chromosomes are packed so tightly within the cell, and they're surrounded with proteins to help protect the DNA, and the ends are protected with these telomeres. If you didn't have the telomeres, then your chromosomes would start sticking to each other, and then you'd have a very, very long, you know, sequence of DNA, and that would cause problems when you go to, when the cell says, hey, I need more protein, I need more an enzyme of this type, and that message goes into the DNA, and it would be harder to get that information out and send out a messenger RNA that coded for that particular enzyme.
Nothing worse. I hate sticky chromosomes. It's just really bugs me.
You don't want sticky chromosomes.
No. This is suggesting, though, that higher atmospheric pressure, meaning more oxygen. Now, isn't it true that the pressure that we live in, the 14.7 pounds per square inch at sea level, isn't that essentially the weight of the atmosphere on us, which means gravity is holding that much combination of gases and whatever's in the atmosphere, and it's pressing down on us and all around on us? Is that what we mean by barometric pressure?
Yes.
Is it the weight of the atmosphere?
The weight of the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So it'd be the same as if you went down in water, and this is why you need the decompression chambers when you do deep dives, is that the pressure of the water, obviously, is much, much higher the deeper you go. And so that pressure, then, in order to equalize, you got to equalize the pressure outside your vessel versus inside the vessel. Otherwise, the vessel's going to collapse under the tremendous weight of the water around you. It's the same thing for the atmosphere. It's just not as dramatic. And so the atmospheric pressure, then, is, as you rightly said, is based on the gravity pulling the atmosphere. Now, there was something different before the flood to allow for a greater atmospheric pressure. And some speculate that there was a canopy, an ice canopy all the way around the Earth, that actually kind of enclosed, encapsulated our atmosphere before the flood. You know, we don't have any information on that other than it looks like the atmospheric pressure was higher before the flood.
It would explain some things that we do see, is what we're saying.
Right.
So it's a theory, yeah.
Right. So let's get back to this study then. So what did the objective was to say, if, you know, we put people in hyperbaric oxygen chambers, and give them a daily dose of, hyperbaric oxygen, what happens? Does anything happen to the cells? Do they seem like they age less, or is the aging process, sped up? And the volunteers had to know that, gee, I could age faster if I go into the chamber. But there was good evidence that maybe you probably wouldn't age faster, that it might be beneficial to you. And so when they came out and they did their analysis, they found, for example, that the telomere lengths increased.
Hmm.
After the study, I mean, it was like, wow, these folks, they've got more telomeres than what they had going in to this study. And in some cases, depending on what what cell they were looking at, and they looked at, white blood cells, because you can get samples of your blood easier than taking, other tissue samples, for example. So they looked at white blood cells, and it looked like 20% telomeres increased by more than 20%. That is a significant increase.
Well, that suggests a reversal of aging, doesn't it?
It did. Yes, indeed. That's exactly what that suggested. So that was part. That was first part of the experiment. Let's look at the telomere length, and so the telomere length increased, and depending on the type of cell you were looking at, it looked like it increased from 10% to 37%, depending on the cell, what type of white blood cell. So that was positive. And then the next thing they looked at is cell senescence, and the cell senescence, that is, those cells that really weren't responding to, stimulus to multiply, for example, or, produce certain things that the cells produce, that those cells decreased. So they had less cell senescence, and they had longer telomeres, just simply by getting into the hyperbaric oxygen chamber every day and doing, I don't know, I don't remember if it said how long they did this study, but for the period of time that they did the study, it gave very, very positive results in that it looked like people stopped aging.
Hmm.
And even reversed aging, if you will, a little bit, because their senescent cells decreased and their telomere length increased with regard to the DNA.
Now, that's something that Carol has accused me of a number of times, is that I'm no longer acting my age.
Oh, you're getting younger and younger. To the point is you're acting like Benjamin Button. And he's
decreased.
Yeah, so you're reversing. Instead of getting older, you're getting younger as time goes on.
I'm becoming more childish.
Yeah, we're told that we'd turn into children again at some point. Yeah.
So she doesn't know that you have a hyperbaric oxygen chamber in the basement.
The garage. Yeah, it's in the garage. And no, she doesn't know about that.
Okay, so you're...
Well, it seems to me if we all lived in spacesuits, we could control that then.
Yeah,
don't you think?
We would bounce off each other quite nicely.
Might be fun, I don't know.
I wonder if there's a limit. It doesn't really talk about the study all that much, and it doesn't say how much, what the limit of that was. I mean, would it continue to increase over time? I mean, would it go from 20% to 30% to 40%?
Right. And we would have to look at the original study to see, how many hours did these folks spend in the hyperbaric oxygen chamber? Was it just an hour a day? Were they spending half their life in the chamber, which wouldn't be a whole lot of fun?
No.
And did it go on for 2 weeks or did it go on for 5 months? We don't, I don't know. I didn't look up the article, but I'm sure, it's specified in the original research article. But yes, that would be a interesting question if you just, spent 20 minutes a day in your hyperbaric oxygen chamber while you read your scripture, then you come out and you decrease in age, or you stop the aging process, if you will. And what you looked like at 20 years of age, you look like at 70. That would be interesting.
What does this have to say about eternity and life in heaven and issues like that, though? I mean, if we are to be resident on earth after Christ comes back, And takes his kingdom here and lives with us on the earth in the New Jerusalem, and we have eternal life with changed bodies. That's implied in Scripture that somehow we'll be changed physically. Maybe God just turns up the pressure.
Well, maybe he does. Maybe he brings conditions back to what they were before the flood. And so now, all of this, when you look at that and say, well, we've got a fountain of youth here in these hyperbaric oxygen chambers, and so everybody should go home and buy one of these chambers, which are, quite expensive, obviously. But the government should provide all of us with that type of a chamber. In the direction that we're going these days, we should demand that. But the problem is one called sin.
Hmm.
And the more sin that resides on earth, the more evil that resides on the earth, then the shorter our lifespans need to be so that we don't destroy ourselves. And so it's from a theological point of view, you don't want to be increasing your lifespan. You want to be the more sin there is, the more the shorter your lifespan is, because then you return to things like the Tower of Babel. And the whole purpose of the Tower of Babel was to become, Nimrod, one of the God himself. So wanted to be lifted up to the point of God and have everybody worship him.
Well, there's a whole moral side to the equation, too, that this does not take into consideration, and that's important. But I have this. You know what the little phone booths used to look like in England, little red phone booths? You had, I'm seeing those all over the landscape now. They're little hyperbaric chambers. You would go in and put in a quarter and spend 30 minutes and then get out and be a little younger.
Mm-hmm.
There's an idea.
That's right.
You know, you wouldn't necessarily roll back the entire calendar, but just maybe 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, that'd be doing.
You know.
Yeah, but would you then relive the last 20 minutes, or would you be? I don't know. That's too deep for me, I think. Dr. Don Clark, a member of the Board of Creation Moments, I should mention their website to you. It's creationmoments.com, and it's an archive, a library, a whole lot of scientific information that speaks to the biblical story of creation. I recommend them wholeheartedly. Might want to go there and click on a few things and see what you can discover. And, Don, we appreciate what you bring to us every Tuesday. We'll look forward to next week. We'll see you next year, I guess, huh?
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. We'll see you then.
Okay. Have a good week. Have a good rest of the year.
Yes, there you go. You too. Y'all too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.